Let's kind of recap where we are and what we're talking about and what our mindset is here on Wednesday nights. Everybody ready? You got your outlines? You're all set? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, I desire for Jesus' way of doing things to increase in my life this year. I don't know if you heard those words. I hope you did, and what I mean by those words. I desire for Jesus' way of doing things to increase in my life. And for that to happen in my life this year, then that means that my way of doing things is going to have to decrease. And we're talking about increase. You know, if you've been able to attend the last few Wednesday nights, then you should have received a key ring. And by this time, you have two cards on your key ring. One is increase and one is love. If for some reason you don't have any of these items, there are plenty. And you can come up here later and get what you need. They're in these little drawers. Just help yourself if you need that. Okay? And you have those things. And what these are, basically, these are tools for us to use this year. Yeah, I was blessed the other day. I pulled into Walmart parking lot, pulled in front of a car, and I don't know, it could have been one of you. I have no idea. I can't tell you what the car was. I don't pay attention to those things. But what I did pay attention to was this was hanging on the rearview mirror, and all I saw when I pulled in was increase, and I thought, hallelujah, that's awesome, you know. So these are tools for us to focus on, what we've been learning and what we are learning throughout this year, and it's to be kept with you where you can see it often. Whoever that person is, they see it every time they drive that car. There you go. And, you know, they it's a tool for us to use to increase this year. So that is for you. And, you know, as I said, they're here if you haven't received them or if you have part of them and not all of them. But, you know, it's I seem to have these benchmarks as we're going along. The Lord just won't let me loose of this. And I realize that there's 10 months left of this year of increase. 10 months. Okay. So, you know, the question I hear from the Spirit when I think about that and I realize where we are and how much time has already gone by in this year and how much time we have left, the question that always comes to my heart is, how are you doing? Got 10 months left. How are we doing? Are we increasing? Are we making some progress? You know, how are we doing? And that's what, you know, I get asked. So it's like it's good to evaluate ourselves, you know. Is your relationship with the Lord increasing so far this year? Can you tell that? Do you know that? Are you increasing and becoming more like Christ so far this year? Can you tell that you are stepping it up? You know, and what we've been talking about lately, have you been able to notice whether you've been increasing at becoming a more loving person? Because that's what we've been talking about the last few weeks. And, you know, I know you guys, some of you get tired of it. Some of you enjoy them. It, you know, it just depends on your temperament and what you like. But you've been given activities almost every week to help you increase in love. To help me increase in love. They're for me too. And currently, what you have that you're using is a little guidebook or little devotion book that looks like this. Now, this is for 2 weeks. We just did 1 week of it. You have another week of this left. So again, if you don't have one of these, you missed last week and didn't get one, there are extras on the desk. And you know what? Just do this week. You know, you don't have to worry about catch up. Certainly, you can do it if you want to. But these are available, and they're just tools. And we're going to continue using these things because you may think, why does Sherry even asking us to do this stuff? I don't like doing this. Well, you know, it's not really my first thought either to sit at my desk and open that little book. I have to make myself do it. And some of you may be that way. Some of you may be eager to do it, and that's wonderful. And some of you may not have even cracked it open, and I understand that too. We're all at different places, but here's the deal. It's not busy work, and it's not just because I'm trying to be cute or I'm trying to keep you occupied. It's because if we're going to increase, we have to become doers of the word. So we can sit in here every Wednesday night and we can hear the word and we can say, amen, that's right and that's true. But if we don't take it with us through the week and learn how to apply it and how to do it, then we haven't gained anything. And that's what the Lord is telling me. Girl, you got to put it into some action here. So that is the idea behind these activities. It is to help you maybe take some steps in putting some of the things in action that we're talking about and actually trying to push you into doing it so that you become a doer of the word. So tonight, we're going to do a little evaluation work on how we're doing thus far. All right. And what I'm going to do is I would like for you all to be the investigative reporters tonight. I'm not checking on you. Your table leaders aren't checking on you. You're going to check on each other. Table leaders, you have blue sheets on your table. You may take those out now and give one to everybody. And this is your investigation sheet. Now, I realize some of you are new tonight, and you may not feel like you can participate in this. But go ahead and do the best you can. What I'd like for you to do is you've got about 10 minutes or so, and you'll see there's lots of blanks on there. I want you not to just sit at your table and ask the people at your table. I want you to actually get up and go talk to somebody else even, okay? I want some mingling going on here, all right? This is not, you're not going to give it to me. You're not going to, it's not a grade. It's for your own information. Let's investigate and see how we're doing. Are we doing anything? Okay? All right, get busy. All right, everybody, time is over, so you may find your ways back to your seats if you would. I appreciate your participation. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. I know that was uncomfortable for some people, and I thank you for putting up with that. But you know, listen, here's the deal. I know everybody's not doing this. I realize that. I'm a realist sometimes. But you know what? The thing to know is some people are, and they can do it. And maybe that gives you some idea of, you know what, maybe I can do that this week too, you know. And maybe you got a day or two in. Maybe you got the whole week in. I don't know. And you know, but it doesn't matter. The point is this. If you talk to people, hopefully you found out that they really are doing something. They really are trying to put the word into action. You know, they really are doing acts of love. And they really are. See, the deal is, a lot of times we do acts of love, we don't even pay attention to them. We don't realize what's happening. And we don't realize how precious that is and what a growing point that is for us. You know, we just dismiss it. And it's good to pay attention now and then. And it's good to evaluate. And that was a much better way to evaluate than me to stand up here and say, okay, how many of you read your book? Okay, because you did great. Thank you. Now, you know, it's good for us to evaluate our process as we strive to increase this year. And it's a good thing. We've been practicing some steps on becoming a more loving person the last few weeks. All right. Now, let me go through the steps we've gone over already. Step one that we've talked about is the very first thing when we're talking about becoming a loving person. The very first thing we must establish is that we know and we understand that God really does love us. He really does love you. And if you are confident that He loves you, that He is unconditional in His love to you, He doesn't wait to love you when you're perfect or when you're doing the right thing. He just loves you. It's unconditional. And when we understand that and when we believe that, when we have confidence in His love, then and only then can you really be able to truly love other people. So that's why it's so important to put that step first. The second step we talked about is something that we have to do in order to become a more loving person is we have to free ourselves from the past. Why? So we can love today. Sometimes our past holds us in such bondage that we won't be released right now to love people because we've got so much bitterness behind us that we're still holding on to. And this requires that you forgive and you release those people who have hurt you. And we have talked about that one night, and we covered that step. And the third step that we talked about was that we need to begin practicing thinking loving thoughts. And what that means is that we focus on others' people's needs and their hurts and their problems and their desires and their goals, and not just on our own. We have a tendency to be pretty self-consumed, all of us. It just kind of goes with the territory. You have to practice thinking about other people and being concerned about them. So we need to practice thinking loving thoughts. And then we also talked about last week that many times we have to act in loving ways no matter what our feelings tell us. We talked about how we act our way into a feeling. And you know, you're to act in love because it's the right thing to do, not because you feel like it. We're supposed to act in love because God said that's what we should do, not because it's easy for us. So we have to do that action first and let the feelings come and line up behind it. And we talked about how that really that's loving by faith. Sometimes you have to love by faith. You just have to love people and say, the Word of God says that I'm to love you, bless you, do good to you, pray for you, and I will do so because it's the right thing to do. I don't care how I feel. I'm going to do the Word, and I am going to act in love. And we talked about that last week. And, you know, when you do those, you start out with that act of love and you pursue that in faith, then those feelings will come in behind it and line up with your actions. And we talked about that at length last week. So we're going to continue with one more step. Now, I'm not saying these are all the steps. I'm just saying these are the ones that we're called upon to talk about in this teaching. But in learning to love other people, and that's what we're talking about, the last step that we're going to discuss might in some ways really be one of the most difficult. And that is, expect the best of everyone. 1 Corinthians 13:7 in the Amplified says, love bears up under anything, and everything that comes is ever ready. Did you hear that? Ever ready to believe the best of every person. Now, I'm thinking there are some words in there that you need to circle, underline, star, draw arrows to it, such as believe the best of every person and be ever ready to do that, ever ready to do that. And you notice in there, I mean, what I would be underlining on mine is every person. Did you notice it said everyone? Not just the people that you know, not just the people that you like. It says everyone. Say everyone.
Everyone.
Yeah, believe the best in every person. Not just Christians even. Not just Christians. You believe the best in people. The God kind of love, which is what lives inside of you if you're a follower of Christ, always expects the best of every person. And you know, the God kind of love is what we're talking about. And I was reminded of, it's kind of silly, but I was reminded of the movie Pollyanna, the original with Haley Mills, you know, and a little line that was in there, and I looked it up to make sure it was correct. And Abraham Lincoln made a true statement when he said, if you look for the bad in people expecting to find it, you surely will. And I believe that's a true statement, and I believe the opposite is also true. If you look for the best in people expecting to find it, you surely will. Expect the best. You know, I'm sure you've all realized, you've experienced it in your own life, or you've seen it in other people's lives develop this way, but that we tend to live up to what people expect of us. Everybody does that. We tend to live up to what people expect of us. You know, the father who always says to his son, well, you're never going to amount to anything, you're such an idiot, is setting his son up for a failure. Because unfortunately, we tend to rise to the level that we're expected to. And, but then again, on the other side of that, the positive side, if you'll speak words of encouragement into someone's life, then you can help them go to a better, higher level because of your expectation of them, for them. Because when you express praise and appreciation or confidence in a person's ability or what they're doing or how they respond or what they said, you know, then they will tend to rise to the level of your words. The words you speak to them. I mean, haven't you experienced that before? Someone tells you, boy, you just do an excellent job at that. Well, the next time you do that job, what are you thinking? I'm going to do a really good job at this. Why? Because we rise to that expectation. Or if someone says to you, you know, every time you touch that office machine, you break it. What are you going to think the next time you have to use it? What are you going to think the next time it's broken? You're going to be saying, I didn't do it. Really, I didn't do it. Why? Because we rise to the expectation of words that are spoken over us, okay? Whether it's negative or positive, but love always expects the best. And when we expect the best, then guess what? We bring out the best. That is an act of loving by faith when you expect the best of someone. That is a faith thing to do. Some cases, it takes a lot of faith. You know, and loving by faith is the greatest force in the world. Because love is contagious, and it has the power to change people. Love changed you. When you realized how much God loved you, it changed you. Love can actually transform a personality, a person's personality. And that's how powerful it is. You know, we think we can't change our personality. Love can actually transform a personality. And, you know, you might think, I can imagine some of the ticker tape thoughts going across some people's minds right now. Well, you know what? I'd really like to change my spouse. Or I'd really like to change my child. Or I'd really like to change my coworker or my neighbor. Well, I got good news for you tonight. I'm telling you how to do that tonight. I could tell you the secret in one sentence, and I'm sure you already know what it is. If you want to change someone, then you treat that person the way you want them to become. Do you hear me? It is hard. I heard that. I heard that. I've said that. You know, treating that person the way you want him to become. And as I was writing those notes, I thought about a story that probably most of you have heard, some of us several times, but it never gets old. That when the Lays came as pastors at Cornerstone Church, the church had been through some difficulties and some situations. And I've heard Janet tell how that she was praying for the church and God asked her, well, what kind of church do you want? And as she thought about it and she responded back to the Lord, she said, well, I want a church that loves each other. And I want a church that's accepting people. I want a church that will forgive. And by the Holy Spirit, Janet realized that what needed to be done is they needed to start speaking those things over the congregation. And I'm sure that when they first started, I wasn't here at that time yet, but I'm sure when they first started, it didn't look true to the natural eye that that congregation was necessarily a congregation of love, acceptance, and forgiveness. They were expecting the best by faith, loving by faith. And as we know and can attest to, the people have risen to those words. And Janet, this is where I'd like for you to join me if you would. And I would like for you to lead us and speak over us that confession for our church.
Bless the name of the Lord. It works. I wonder if we start speaking these type of things over our family and our lives, what would happen. But let me say it for you, and then I want you to come in agreement, because there's power in agreement. And that is that Cornerstone Church is a church that's knitting families together with God's love. Cornerstone Church is a church that's knitting people together with God's love. Cornerstone Church is a church of love, acceptance, and forgiveness. And so I want you to agree with me tonight, what Cornerstone Church is. Say with me, Cornerstone Church is a church of love, acceptance, and forgiveness. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. You know, those words spoken to a congregation every single week, over and over and over for years, has reaped great benefits. And we all know, attending Cornerstone Church, what's expected of us. And we've all learned and are learning to rise to that expectation. And we continue to do that. It's good to remind ourselves of those things. You know, do you want your spouse to succeed? If you do, then treat your spouse as if they are successful. If we have issues where we keep speaking things like, well, you're not doing good enough, or you're not making enough money, or you're not working hard enough, or those words are not beneficial to your situation, because they will rise to your expectation. So if you want to see your spouse become more of a success, then treat them and speak to them as the success you desire them to be. You know, do you want your children to be smart? Well, then start treating them as they're intelligent, not stupid. Raise your expectations, and they will rise to it. You know, do you want an employee to become more diligent and more responsible? Well, then treat them as though you have confidence in them. Speak those words. Encourage them that they're a great asset to you. Compliment them, even for the smallest acts of diligence, because that will rise the level up, and they will rise to those words, that expectation you have in them. It'll work in any relationship. You want to change that situation, start changing your words, start changing your expectation. It's not a magic wand, and I want you to understand that. This isn't something you do to manipulate people. So you have to do this sort of thing with the right motive. See, we could just throw this around and say, well, I want them to do this, this, and this, so I'm going to start speaking this over them. That's the wrong attitude. Just because you're trying to manipulate someone to be what you want them to be or to do what you want them to do, that is not what I'm talking about, and I want you to make sure you know that. This is not manipulation. This has to be done with the right motive. It absolutely must be done with the correct motive. So what is the correct motive? I'll tell you what the correct motive is. It's love. The correct motive is that you genuinely care about that person and that you truly want the very best for them. And that is why you are speaking these things over them. Because you love them. We're talking about becoming a more loving person. We're talking about expecting the best, because love expects the best, because you know that somewhere within them, the best is there. It just needs to help come forward. And by your very words, you can help that to happen by expecting the best. You know, Sunday, Pastor Bill taught about a little bit about calling those things that be not as though they were. And he used the scripture in Romans 4:17 that says, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Talking about Abraham here. And you know, God is love, right? We have established that. The word declares that. God is love. So if he is love, then he must be the master at believing the best in every person. Because he loves like none of us could ever imagine loving. He expects the best of people. And we have many examples in the Bible that shows that. You know, talking about Abraham, God called him the father of many nations when he was an old man and didn't even have any kids yet. What was he doing? He was expecting the best. He was putting that out there. And guess what? It rose to that occasion. That expectation was birthed in Abraham's heart too. And he rose to that occasion. He had gotten agreement with that and eventually saw that come forth. God called Gideon a mighty man of valor. When? When Gideon was hiding in a pit from the enemy, shaking in his boots. And yet God called him a mighty man of valor. God is a master at believing in people. You know, Jesus called Peter the rock on which the church was going to be built on. And at that time he said it, Peter looked like he had none of the qualities needed for that job whatsoever. But it certainly came true. And it certainly came to pass. That expectation, God believes the best in everyone. And you know, in every one of those cases, and many others that are mentioned in the Bible, if you take the time to look, those people rose to God's expectation. God spoke it. He believed the best. He expected the best in these people, and they rose to that, and it was done. God's word talks about us, talks about who you are in Christ, talks about that you're righteous, and you're loving, and you're forgiving, and you're caring, and you're overcomers, and so much more. Why does the word talk about all that stuff? Because God fully believes that we will rise to his expectations. He expects the best from every person, including us. He expects it. He expects nothing less. We're to believe the best of every person also. So that is certainly a strong way to practice and to learn to become a more loving person. Now, we want to touch a few things on love as we come to the close tonight, but talk about real quickly some of the benefits of love. You know, we talk about being a more loving person, and there is some good things in it for you. Love really has some great benefits. And we're just going to list a few tonight. Number one, love causes us to live a victorious life. We say, Sherry, how do you get that? Well, look at 1 John 4:18. It says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. The deal is that the more we become aware of God's love towards us, the more we understand beyond a shadow of a doubt that he loves us unconditionally and that he is faithful, then the less we fear, right? Because if God be for us, who can be against us? If we are confident in that, then the less our fear will be there. And guess what? The less that we're afraid, the more confident we are to love other people. What stops most people from loving other people? They're scared. We're scared. We're scared of rejection. We have a victorious life. No fear means you can go forth as a conqueror. So love causes us to live a victorious life. Also, love causes your faith to work. We talked about that a little bit at the beginning of this teaching. Galatians 5:6 says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Another version says, but faith worketh by love. And then in 1 Corinthians 13:13, that love chapter, at the end of it, it says, now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. So we see that we need all three. We need faith, we need hope, we need love. You need all three because they work together. But the deal is, according to this verse, love is the most important. Your faith will not work without love. So a great benefit of becoming a more loving person, walking in God's love, is your faith will be more active and more effective. That's a good thing. We need that. Another benefit of walking in love is that, you know, love is always going to carry you through. It always will. I didn't say love is always going to make it smooth. And I didn't say it's always going to be a bed of roses. But love will always take you through. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, love never, never, everybody say never, fails. Hallelujah. Never, ever, ever, ever fails. And as we're talking about this year, our relationship increasing with God, then as our relationship increases with him, then our confidence in his power and ability will grow. Because the more we know him, the more we understand how wonderful he is, how powerful he is, how able he is to do anything. And because of that increase in our relationship, then we begin to trust that, you know what the word says, that he actually gave that power to us, his power to us. And it enables us to become more than conquerors in Christ because we are walking in love. And it will never fail. You know, it will never fail. Also, love is going to identify us. Verse we haven't looked at yet, but certainly should, is John 13:35. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, I made "if" capital because, you know, I'm thinking that's a big part of that verse. By this, all will know that you're my disciples if we choose. It's our choice. If you love one another, make the choice. You know, there's a saying, I think I even printed it on your little booklet, but love only spoken is easily dismissed. I love you. I mean, that's nice, but if that's all there is just words, it's easily dismissed. But love demonstrated is irresistible. That's why we're talking about acting in love. Love demonstrated is irresistible. And our love for God and others will set us apart. As we walk in love, as we operate in love, our love for God and for others is going to set us apart. It is going to make you notable. People are going to take note of you as they see you operating in love. It's going to set you apart. It's going to make you notable, and it's going to make you irresistible. People are looking for genuine love. If there's anything we've got a shortage of, it's genuine love in this world. And people are looking for it everywhere. Also, want to touch on how that love is a mark of our maturity. And Colossians 3:14, it says, and above all these things, put on love. Make a little side note there. It says put on. That means you do it. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And that word perfectness here is talking about maturity. That means being grown up. Love is the bond of maturity. And you know, we like to judge our maturity in all different kinds of ways. Maybe how many years we've walked with the Lord, or how many years we've been a member at a certain church, or our activities that we do, you know, whatever that may be. But maturity is not measured by how many years you've been saved or how much faith you have even. Maturity is measured by how much love you allow to flow through you to others. Do you want to know if you're a grown-up Christian? Some days I'm a little more grown-up than others. When you're a grown-up Christian, that love is going to be flowing out of you to others. That's going to show your maturity. It's going to show that, hey, we really are increasing. We really are learning how to become more like Jesus Christ. You know, you may remember that we talked about that when we discuss God's love and our love for him and our love for others from the Bible standpoint, that we're talking about that Greek word that's called agape, which you could say that is the God kind of love. And came across this note. It's from the Dake Study Bible. This side note that he put in. Agape is divine love, strong, ardent, tender, compassionate devotion to the well-being of someone else. Underline that. To the well-being of someone else. Divine love doesn't ask, what can you do for me? Divine love asks, what can I do for you? And I love this thought that he wrote there in that study Bible. Agape is not a consuming power, but agape is a giving power. We're talking about love and increasing in love, becoming a more loving person, to fellowship with God and to walk with God, to walk in God's kingdom and in his realm, to walk in the spirit the Bible talks about. To do those things, we must learn and practice walking in divine love, for God is love. You know, when we are born again, God becomes our Father. Just, it's amazing. God becomes our Father, and he is love. He's a love God. God is love. He's a love God. I am a love child now of a love God, because I'm just like Daddy. I'm his child. I'm born of God, and God is love, so therefore I am born of love. The nature of God is in me, and the nature of God is love. We need to remind ourselves of these things because we forget in the day-to-day things that we do. And it's good to remind ourselves that we are following after our Father, and we can and should operate in God's love. God's plan for us as followers of Christ is that agape love always controls our life, leading us and directing us and spilling over in every area of our life, because it is the love of God that will draw people to him, and they see that through us. So it's very important, of course, we said love is the primary thing, that we practice and continue learning to become a more loving person. So this week, I would like for you to continue your assignment with your booklet. You have one more week of that. And to read and to meditate and to speak those verses and to seriously think about what they mean to you and to pay attention to the acts of love that you are producing every day of your life and to realize that you really are growing and becoming a more loving person. So I want you to continue that booklet. And then tonight, I know we took time with the earlier activity we did, so you've got very little discussion points, and they are on your outline, and we will have them on the screen. And very simply, just a couple of little thoughts there for your discussion time. Be sure to pray with each other, and I think our prayer focus really needs to be that we learn, the Holy Spirit teaches us how to expect the best of other people. So, Father, we just thank you for your word. We ask you to seal it in our hearts. Lord, not that it just stay there entombed, but instead that it flow through us and it becomes mingled in us and becomes a part of us, Father God, and that we're not just hearers only, but we are doers of your word because we desire to increase in you. And I thank you, Father God, that we are learning to become more loving people. And I thank you, Father, that you'll remind us of that this week, and you'll have our spiritual eyes open and attentive, paying attention and realizing that you really are doing a work with us and growing us and teaching us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a production of Cornerstone Church in Grove, Oklahoma. For more information about Cornerstone, you can call 918-786-6164 or send an email to info@cornerstonechurchofgrove.com. Thanks for listening.